Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, Genesis 32, and your Schofield Reference Bible, page 48. We'll read verses 24 through 32. Genesis chapter 32, starting with verse 24 and reading through verse 32. We'll read the verses responsively. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And let's finish together, please. "Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." And let's pray. Father, it's certainly a real joy and privilege that we have of being in this place tonight, this of all places. Certainly we owe a great debt of gratitude to thee for the freedom that we have together here. And then in this place, this church, thank you so much. Thank you for our preacher, and we pray that you'd give us just a little bit more appreciation for all that we have and all that we enjoy here in this great church. We pray that you'd help us to be really attentive tonight. And, of course, we pray for thy power for a preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will not mention the title of my message until later on in the message because I have a truth that I want to leave with you later on. I do not want to mention it till I get a couple of hours into the sermon. Monday night, I was preaching in Mobile, Alabama, and they had invited a lot of dignitaries, as we count dignitaries. I mean, the commissioners, some commissioners were there, and city councilman or two, and judge, a couple of judges. And I spoke following Dr. Bill Pennell, and I got up, I guess, about 8:20, 8:25. And they had recognized these city officials, and I wanted to give my word of gratitude for their coming. And so I told them, I said, I would like to thank you so much. I said, I admire you for coming. I know most of you are not Baptist. And I said, it's just not every city in America where officials like you would come and sit here at 11 o'clock at night in a service. I never laughed. They didn't either. But when we ended about 9:25, they were very, very relieved. So about 11 o'clock, I'll be giving you a special point. I do not want to deliver it yet, so I'll give the title of the sermon, because the title of the sermon is a little bit too descriptive of what I want to say later on. I am speaking tonight on an experience in the life of Jacob, one of the most unpredictable of all the Bible characters, spiritual enough to want what was right, carnal enough to get it in the wrong way. Spiritual enough to have a spiritual appetite. It's a carnal. He had fleshly methods of satisfying his spiritual appetite. He wanted to walk with God, but he wanted to, everybody else to got in his way. He wanted to stomp over him on his way to walking with God. I'm going to have to lay a little foundation tonight. Indulge your rapt attention as I do so. Repetition and review, so I can get to the one thing I want to leave with you tonight. Father, bless, I pray, our message, thy message to thy people through thy servant. And dear Lord, I'm as convinced tonight that I'm supposed to bring this message as I am that I'm saved. I'm positive this is what you want preached. I will not do it in the way you'd prefer it done, because I'm still encumbered with this coat of flesh. But I will preach the passage you won't preach tonight, I'm sure of that. And I will, with these stammering lips, with this limited vocabulary, with this mind that's all too dull, and this body that's all too often weak, and this voice that's all too often raspy, I will say the truth that you want me to say tonight, of that I'm sure. Bless us together. Amen. Needless to say, Jacob was born causing trouble. He was born a twin. His brother, born first, Jacob came out of the womb, holding on to his brother's heel. He never let go. Jacob sold or cheated his brother out of the birthright of a family, Jewish family in the patriarchal days, gave the owner of the birthright priestly rights in the family. It gave them the right to have a double portion of the father's inheritance. It also gave them the right to be a part of the genealogy of carrying the blood that someday would bring forth, or carrying the seed that someday would bring forth the Christ child. It was a very coveted thing. Jacob caught Esau when he was tired, thought he was going to die, and practically stole his birthright. Later on, when they thought their father was dying, by the way, they were wrong, he did not die then. They thought the father was dying. Jacob, who was fair-skinned and not real hairy, put animal skins around his neck and on his hands and went to his father, blind father's bedside, and disguised himself as his brother Esau. Esau was a hairy kind of a fellow. And his father reached out and felt the hair on his hands and the hair on the back of his neck. He said, you feel like Esau, but said the voice is Jacob's voice, but he thought it was Esau. And he gave the dying blessing of the dying father. He gave that to Jacob. And it rightly was Esau's. Esau had enough. I'll kill him, he said. I won't put up with that. I'll kill him. Jacob was a mother's boy. Mama said, sweetheart, you better leave now and get out of here. Esau's going to kill you. Better go back home, back to the old home place. Stay there. Live there a while. Esau's fury grows over. He's going to kill you. You know the story. Jacob takes off back to the old home place, 500-mile trip, more give or take a few miles, and stops to rest the first night, places his head on a stone for a pillow, and goes off to sleep and has the dream of Jacob's ladder. Angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. John 1:51 tells us those angels represent the Lord Jesus Christ. That ladder represents the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jacob goes down to the far country, stays there for 20 years, falls in love with a gal, works 7 years to get her, and on the honeymoon takes her veil off and finds out he has her sister. I'm glad about that. I'm glad he got tricked. I'm glad the guy that tricked his father on his deathbed while he was blind, I'm glad he got tricked 7 years for the wrong woman. Then he said, okay, I still love Rachel. I want to marry her. So he worked 7 years to get her, 14 years for one woman. Boy, When I get to heaven, I want to get a good look at her. 14 years for her. My soul, she must be something else. But he got tricked. I'm glad he did. Then, after 20 years, away from the will of God, away from Bethel, away from God's plan for his life, Jacob says, I've got to go back. Back to Bethel, I must go. Back where the rivers of sweet waters flow. Back to the joy life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. But one thing bothers him. He's afraid to meet Esau. 20 years ago, Esau said, I'll kill you. I'll see you again. Jacob's afraid to meet Esau. But meet Esau he must. Back to the old homeland he must go. Bethel is calling. He comes back. And he comes to a place called Jabbok. In just a little while, he's going to meet Esau. He's Jacob's still the trickster. You know what he did? This is not known much. But Jacob got a bunch of stuff to give to Esau, sort of as a peace offering, a bunch of gifts to give him, in hopes that Esau would take the gifts and not kill him. But Jacob told his servants, he said, now, we're not going to give Esau all of this unless we have to. He said, give him this much and see if that works. Still a trickster. Still conniver. Still a supplanter. He said, now, looks like he's going to kill me. He said, give him some more. But don't give him any more than we have to. Want to keep back all we can for ourselves. Now, Jacob comes to this place called Jabbok. And there beside a little body of water, something happens to Jacob. God comes. It says, a man came. But we know from what the Scripture says later that it was Jesus, because it's Jacob called the place Peniel, or Peniel, which means God is here, the face of God. He said, I've seen God face to face. So it was, no doubt, Jesus himself, the God-man. He said one place he was God, said another place he was man. The only person that could be is Jesus, because he's the God-man. And so he wrestled with him, and Jacob, by the way, Jesus, or God, I'll say God wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob finally came to the place where he said, Jesus said, I'm going to leave. It's morning, daybreak. And Jacob said, no, you're not going to leave. No, you're not. You're not going to leave if you bless me. I'm going to hold on to you until you bless me. And he did get a blessing. His name was changed there from Jacob, which means supplanter, trickster, deceiver, was changed to Israel, which means prince, ruler, if you please. God did something to Jacob there that night. Jacob was never the same. When Jacob came to meet Esau, Esau had been changed because Jacob had been changed. And they had a wonderful reunion. Now, listen carefully. I realize that's been a little laborious, but listen carefully. The usual interpretation of this, and I don't think it's wrong, I just don't think it's the main interpretation, but I don't think it does the Scripture injustice. The usual interpretation is, Jacob, let me just sort of act it out a little bit. Jacob said, God, I'm going to have your power. I've got to meet Esau tomorrow, and I'm going to wrestle with you till I get your power. I've got to meet my enemy. I've got to have your mighty power. Now, I'm not going to let you go till I get it. Now, then after that happens, he receives the mighty power of God. He goes to see Esau, and they're reunited. Esau's heart is totally transformed. And we say, and I think not unjustly so, we say that what happened was that Jacob wrestled for the power of God, got the power of God, and God used that power to change Esau. And I would not say that that's not in here, and I think that certainly it is all here, but there's something that little known I want to share with you tonight. Hear me carefully. The Bible doesn't say that Jacob started this wrestling match. The Bible doesn't say Jacob wrestled with the angel or the man. The Bible says the man wrestled with Jacob. Are you listening? This is no wrestling match started by Jacob. Jacob didn't decide he was going to get the power. Jacob didn't say, "Dear God, I've got to meet Esau, and I'm going to have your power before I go, and I'm going to start a wrestling." Jacob didn't start this wrestling. God started this wrestling match. Now, let me tell you what happened. God wrestled with Jacob. Jacob was losing the struggle. God came to chasten Jacob. Jacob had been gone out of the will of God for 20 years. Jacob had been outside the plan of God for his life. And now he comes back. Now, you can get right with God, but you will not get the chastening eliminated or canceled. God gives no suspended sentences. So Jacob is being punished. And God comes and he wrestles with Jacob and God prevailed. Now listen carefully. This is the message right here. God said, "Jacob, I'm through. Punishment's over. I'm leaving." Jacob said, "Wait a minute. No, you're not leaving yet. Because I'm not right yet. And though you have quit punishing me, and I have received punishment that's duly mine," Jacob said, "God, I haven't had enough yet." He said, "Dear God, don't stop. Wait, God. Hold it, God. Hold it. Hold it, God. Don't stop yet." He said, "Dear God, keep on whipping me." He said, "Dear God, keep on chastening me. Dear God, I know that I have received the punishment." Listen carefully. "I know I have received the punishment I need, but I have not received the preparation I need. And God, there's something I need. I need more punishment. Now God, you keep whipping me." Well, this is unbelievable. "You keep whipping me." Well, we say, "Oh God, when are you going to quit whipping me?" Jacob said, "God, keep on whipping me." You see, God had given Jacob the punishment he deserved, but Jacob wanted more than punishment. Jacob wanted preparation for his new life of service. And Jacob said, "Dear God, keep working on me until I get what I need. Keep on beating me. I don't have it yet. Don't let me suffer and not realize the reason." And that's what would have been so sad. If all Jacob had gotten was punishment for his suffering, that's all he'd gotten. I mean, Jacob wouldn't have gotten all he needed. And Jacob said, "I need some more." He said, "Keep on punishing me. Don't let me suffer and not realize the reason. Don't let this be finished until the purpose is fulfilled. Dear God, I need more. I'm not prepared." Let me illustrate. A young couple came to our school. Lovely couple. Had 4 children when they came. 5 when they left. That's below average. Normally, the average is you leave with 2 more than you came with. But they had 4 kids when they came here, had 5 when they left. Now, they're middle-aged people. I know they weren't middle-aged people either. They're young people. If you're 20 years old, they were middle-aged. If you're 58 years old, they were infants. But they were in their mid-30s. And they suffered. The truth is, that fella and that woman just absolutely almost starved to death. And they worked so hard. She sacrificed and they all did without, and the children had to pay for it too, and they just absolutely limped through school. And it just looked like every semester he couldn't go back, but he did. He wasn't like some of you washed out. And I want to say this tonight. Brother, if you're a single young man, you haven't got any business limping through school here. These guys can get through with 2 and 3 and 4 kids and a wife. You can get through by yourself. No excuse for it. So, finally the day came. Boy, oh boy, and as it came, I'd see him in the hallway. He'd say, "Just 6 more months, preacher. Just 6 more months."
Just 5 more months, preacher. That was a month later. 5 more months, preacher. 5 more months.
And then about a week before graduation, he brought his wife and family in and sat there in my office and said, "Brother Hiles, we have something to tell you." And he began to cry, and she began to cry, and I didn't know what they were going to tell me, but I began to cry too. I always hate to be inappropriate. And so, they began to cry. We were all crying. If anybody cries, I cry. I'm like the black fellow down in Texas one time I talked to. I said, "What did you do on the weekend?" He said, "I spent my time running north on Central Expressway." I said, "Why did you run north on Central Expressway?" He said, "Because every other black man in that neighborhood is running north on Central Expressway. And I figured there must be something bad down south on Central Expressway." Well, that's where I am. We're crying. And the fellow said, "Brother Hiles, I know and my wife knows that I'm not prepared yet and ready to pastor. I know and she knows." He said, "We didn't grow up in a fundamental church. We got saved after we were adults. Now," he said, "I know, she knows, we need to stay another year." Oh, brother. She was crying and I was crying and he was crying. And so then the kids started crying. But he said, "Brother Hiles, we know it." Now, he said, "Honestly, preacher," he said, "I don't have a job right now. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And we've absolutely almost starved to death. And we just lived on a shoestring." But he said, "I know we're not prepared yet. We're not ready to go yet." And he said, "Brother Hiles, I've just come to ask you, please let us stay another year." That's what Jacob said. God said, "What? What? What? What?" Now God said, "Jacob, I'm through spanking you." Jacob said, "Don't quit. I know I'm not ready yet. I know I've gotten the punishment that gives me the punishment I deserve. But Lord, I'm not ready to meet Esau yet. I'm not ready to serve yet. I'm not ready for my future life yet. God, I'm not going to let you go. Keep, what do you say?" Listen, they were wrestling. They were fighting each other. And Jacob said, "Dear God, keep on fighting me. I'm not going to let you quit pounding on me. Now I'm going to hang on to you while you keep..." And by the way, he already had his thigh out of socket. He already had been crippled. He was already wounded in action. And he said, "God, I haven't been worked on enough. I know it. Haven't been punished enough yet. I know it. I haven't been chased enough yet. I know it. I'm not ready yet, prepared yet. I know it. God, keep on punishing me." You see, God sometimes punishes us, and He won't give us more unless we insist. One Sunday morning, one of the most amazing things I've ever had happen to me, I was in my office, a young man, athlete, in our high school, senior, big guy, bigger than I am, well, bigger, taller, bigger who here, some places I'm bigger than he is. But big guy, he stayed around, everybody was gone. I said, "Come on in, son." He went in, looked down on me. I said, "What is it?" He began to cry. He said, "Brother Hiles, would you spank me?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Son, what are you talking about?" He said, "Brother Hiles, I've never had a spanking." He said, "I've always wanted one. I've always envied children whose daddies and mamas spanked them. But," he said, "Brother Hiles, my daddy never loved me enough to spank me. And my mama never loved me enough to spank me. And I'm almost 18 years of age. I've never had a spanking in my life." He said, "Brother Hiles, would you spank me?" Well, I said, "Son, you only spank people if they've done wrong." He said, "You don't know this, but I've done enough wrong to deserve a spanking." I said, "Come over here." I went over and sat down. I used to have a straight, four-legged straight chair. I sat down in that chair. I said, "Now, bend yourself over my knee." I knocked the stuffings out of that fellow. Spanked him. And while I was spanking him, he was crying. And I spanked harder. And after I got through, I said, "Now, son, sit up there on the chair." He sat there. I said, "You think you can be a good boy?"
"Yes, sir. I think I can be a good boy."
I said, "Come over here to me." And I said, "Put your arms around me and hug me." And that big old husky boy put his arms around me, and he cried. He almost saturated my shoulder with his tears and other fluid that came from his cranium. I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not. And he straightened up and looked at me, and he said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "thank you. I feel so loved." And you guys want to feel loved after the service? Come by the office tonight. And you choir members want to feel loved after the service? Come by the office tonight. That's the male choir members only. But that's what Jacob said. Jacob said, "Dear God, would you keep on spanking me?" "What are you talking about, Jacob? I already punished you. I need more than punishment. I need to get ready. I've got a life to live. I've got a work to do. I've got to be prepared. And I know I've got punishment. I've been punished. But God, spank me some more. Spank me some more." And God said, "I got to go. It's daybreak." Oh, Dr. Rice used to say, "This is an angel." He said, "Jacob, I got to go." He said, it'd be a scandal to the jaybirds if an angel's out here in wide open daylight wrestling. And Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go." "Yes, I got to go." "No, I'm not. You go spank me some more. I'm not trained yet. I'm not ready yet. Haven't suffered enough yet. Haven't been in the valley enough yet. Haven't been chased enough yet. Haven't been spanked enough yet. Haven't been prepared enough yet." Boy, I like him. He wasn't one of these little pipsqueak fellas that says, I'm a sophomore now, or a junior. It's time for me to go out and win the world of Christ." He said, "I've got my degree, but I'm not finished. I'm not prepared yet." He said, "Make me suffer some more. Make me suffer some more." Have you ever noticed that troubles come in bunches? You're like me, you've been having a bunch of them all your life. Troubles come in bunches. Bible says, "Deep calleth unto deep." You said this many times. You're like, "How much more can he take? How much more can she take?" It just seems like everything has fallen down on him and seemed like she's just had more than any human being ought to have. How much more can she take? How much more can he take? That's because troubles usually come in bunches. Why? Because God's preparing you for something. Old Dr. John sat across the table from me, as we did hundreds of times. Had his glasses off, chewing on the end like he often did. When Dr. Rice was thinking, he always used his fingers like this. Often did. He said, "Dr. Hiles, God's going to sure use Tom Malone in a few years." And I said, "Why, Dr. Rice?" He said, "Because he's sure going through the fire now. God's getting ready to use him in a mightier way than God's ever used him before." Now, the truth is, troubles do come in bunches often times. Now, God may be preparing you. He may be getting you ready for something to do for him. And it may be that you may have to say, "God, I'm not through yet. Spank me some more. I'm not through yet. Chasten me some more. I'm not through yet. I'm not ready yet. Send me through the fires a little more." That's what Jacob said. Jacob said, I know I've got to meet Esau, and I know I'm not ready yet to meet Esau, and I know I haven't got the courage I need or the power I need. Now, God, you've been spanking me and wrestling with me, but I'm not going to let you go. Keep on punishing. Keep on persecuting. Keep on making me suffer. Keep me under the fire. Keep on spanking me. Keep on chastening me. God may be preparing you tonight. I'm talking to folks all over this room. Your troubles have come in bunches in the last few months. God may be preparing you for something, so don't run.
You stay there under the whip and the rod till God gets you ready. Or it may be that God is punishing you. You stay there under the rod till God gets through. What a tragedy it would be to suffer for nothing. What a shame to stay. For example, this is not a college sermon, but what a shame to stay here for 3 years or 2 years and sacrifice and do without and suffer. And then before you get to the finish line, you turn back and you go home. Good night. You're going to suffer for something, not nothing. Tragedy to suffer and not realize the reason and to know the improvement that added suffering could give. Don't shrink because of punishment. Don't shrink because of chastening. Don't shrink because of buffeting. Don't shrink because the problems come one after the other. You just realize God is doing it. He's the one that started the wrestling match. Now before you run off half-cocked, let me suggest something to you. Don't ever ask God to lift the punishment. Don't ever ask God to lift the load. God may do it. And He may do it before you're ready. And God may not have chiseled on you enough. And God may not have spanked you enough. And God may not have prepared you enough. And God may not have purified you enough. And God may not have tempered you enough. And God may not have put you in the fires of testing enough. And God may not have refined you enough. Don't you go to pray, oh God, God, deliver me from this punishment. Deliver me from these trials. Deliver me from these heartaches. Don't you do it. Let God decide when He's ready to use you. And then if you don't think you're ready yet, when God gets through, say with Jacob, dear God, I'm not ready yet. I've not been prepared enough yet. I've got too much to face. I've got too big a battle to fight. I'm not ready. Dear God, keep on spanking me. Keep on chiseling on me. Keep on putting me through the fire. Keep on chastening me. Keep on giving me troubles. And dear God, Lord, I gotta go, Jacob. I got other folks to take care of. You're not the only pea I got in the pod here. I gotta go. He said, you're not gonna go. Lord said, what? You're not gonna go. You're gonna spank me some more. You want more of this? Don't I want more? I'm gonna get more. Jacob wrestled with God, and God kept on whacking at him, and God kept on whacking at him. Let me tell you something, folks. Troubles are highly underrated, and prosperity is highly overrated. Don't you tell God when to stop. You let God decide when to stop, and if you feel like there's something else that God needs to do with you, and you've not been under the fire enough, and you've not been in the fire enough where you're purified, you say, dear God, give me some more. More spanking, God. More chastening, God. Let me have some more. See, Jacob knew he needed more. Now, sometimes we don't know when we need more. So in a case like that, you plead with God not to stop until you're ready. You plead with God not to stop until it's time to stop and until you're prepared and He's chiseled on you. I heard an illustration, and I cannot give it real well, but I want to give it, and I wish I knew the name. Preacher used it, and I should have taken notes, but I didn't, because I was afraid he'd be like I am and say, put your pen down, don't take notes while I'm preaching. So I didn't take any notes on it. But he told me that he was sitting across the table from in an important banquet, and important folks were there. He said he looked up and he saw on one fellow's name tag, and he told the name, but I've forgotten. He said he's probably one of the, if not the most famous architect in the world, one of the most famous. He thought he's most famous and best, not architect, I'm sorry, sculptor in the world. And he said this man has sculpted many of the statues of the bust of great men and the bodies of great men and famous and he said, this preacher said, I looked across and I said, are you, and called his name, the famous sculptor? He said, yes, I am. This preacher said, my, I'm honored to meet you. I've always wanted to meet. He said, could I shake your hand? He said, well, of course. And they shook hands. And then he looked at him and said, "Could I ask you, sir, how in the world do you find, or do you have the ability, how can you make such a likeness of great people? Your statues are in famous places across the world. How can you take a big hunk of something and how can you chisel and make make it look so much the likeness of a great man?" And the sculptor said, "It's easy. I just take a chisel and a hammer and I cut away everything that doesn't remind me of the fellow. I just cut away everything that doesn't remind me of the fellow." Tonight, I believe I can say this. If I can't, I wish I could, but I think I can. Dear God, I don't like the pain of the chisel. I don't like the hurt when it knocks something else off. And I don't like the jar of the hammer when the hammer hits on the chisel handle. I don't like that. But dear God, if you see anything in me that's not like Jesus, knock it off. Now, it's always painful. It's not easy. Chisel on me. Knock it off. Chisel on me. And God said, "Jacob, I got you pretty good shape now. I got you chiseled down pretty good." But Jacob said, "Not enough. I want to be more in the likeness, more in your likeness. I want to be more like you. Chisel some more. I got to go. Chisel some more. I got to go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hang on to you. And you're going to chisel some more. And you're going to punish some more. And I'm going to have some more troubles. And I'm going to shed some more tears. And I'm going to have some more heartache. Because I'm not ready to face Esau and I know it. And I'm not ready for my life's work and I know it. And you're going to have to punish me some more." By the way, listen carefully to this. Morning comes. After a while, Jacob realizes that God has finished his work. God takes his flight back to heaven. But he leaves Jacob with a new name. It's not Jacob anymore. He calls him Prince. Now listen to this. That means ruler. Your name is not Jacob, trickster, deceiver, supplanter, crook. That's not your name. Your name from now on is Israel. That means prince or ruler. Hey, man, ruler of what? Would you tell me what country he ruled? None. Would you tell me on what throne he sat? None. Would you tell me what scepter he wielded? None. Would you tell me what crown he wore? None. Would you tell me what royal robe he ever wore? None. None. Well, if he's a ruler, whom does he rule? Jacob. Jacob. Jacob, you've learned to rule yourself. And brother, my Bible says, "He that ruleth his own self is greater than he that conquereth the city." You've learned to rule yourself. Some of you are under attack tonight. And look, gripe, grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too, grumble on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, grumble the whole week through, grum, 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 grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too, grumble on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, grumble the whole week. Shut up. Shut up. First place, you haven't gotten anything to grumble about. And the second place, if you do, you better thank God he thinks enough of you to where he's getting you ready to do something for him. What you ought to be saying is, "Dear God, make me usable. I don't know how long I'll have to be under the chastening hand of God. I don't know how many times, how long you're going to have to chisel away at me to make me more in your likeness. But dear God, keep on. Keep on." I love Jacob. I don't like him, but I love him. I get to heaven, I'm going to punch him in the nose. Anybody's making soup and there's a hunting trip going on, it's not right with God. Good night. God delivered me from these soup makers.
guy walked by the other day at the office, and he said, "Dr. Howes, here's some brownies I've made for you." Now, I'm not against men making brownies. If you make, that's okay. If you just got your nose busted playing football before you made them, or if you're on your way to bust somebody else's nose boxing match after you get through, or if you're going to bust your wife's nose either time, but Jacob. But I feel for him. 20 years. What a wonderful start he had. What a wonderful father. What a wonderful mother. What a chance he had. Look at his grandfather. Look at his father. Look what a chance he had. And now 20 years. He's wealthy in the pocketbook, but poor above the shirt pocket on the left side. He's got this world's goods, but doesn't do him a bit of good. He comes to Jabbok and he says, "I've got to get back to Bethel. I've got to get back to Esau and say I'm sorry." God says, "You're not ready to go yet. I'm going to whale the daylights out of you." God comes down and says, "Jacob, turn yourself on my knee." Jacob bends over and God says, "I'm going to punish you. 20 years you've wasted. You're going to get it." Whack! 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 Jacob said, God said, "Okay, Jacob, get up."
"I don't want to get up yet."
"You don't want to get up yet? Well, that'll shock you. You wait till that little 5-year-old girl of yours is bad. Or 10-year-old boy. You get the razor strap out like my dad used to get on me. And you wail a fire out of him. And about the time you get through, he says, 'You had enough?' You say, 'You've had enough?' He says,
'No, ma'am. I want some more.'
They'll be driving you to the insane asylum." God said, "Jacob, I'm through." Jacob said, "No, you're not. No. I know my punishment's satisfied, and I've suffered all I need to suffer to get my punishment, but I haven't suffered all I need to suffer yet to get prepared. I've got to meet Esau, and I'm not ready, and I know it. But, dear God, you know what? I've got some gifts to give Esau, but I wasn't going to give him the whole thing. I'm not ready yet. Spank me some more."
Whack! 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 Whack!
And Jacob said, "I think I'm ready. I think I'm prepared." Oh, what a beautiful picture. Isn't long till Jacob goes out. And I can imagine how he felt. Oh, my soul.
I wouldn't blame Esau if he killed me. I wouldn't blame him. Oh, look what I did. I stole his birthright. For a bowl of soup, he gave me his chance to be in the lineage of the Messiah. And for a bowl of soup, he gave me the double portion of the inheritance. And for a bowl of soup, he gave me the priestly rights and the patriarchal family. I stole his blessing, put the skins on my neck and on my hands, and deceived our daddy and got the blessing. And now I've got to go back and meet him. And I'm not big and he's big, and I'm not strong and he's strong, and I'm not athletic and he is. But I'm going to go.
I'm prepared now. I see those two brothers, haven't seen each other in 20 years. Old burly Esau comes. His face is sort of wrinkled now. It's not as clear as it once was, but he still has, you can still tell he once was a real man. His stomach's a bit bigger, and his shoulders are not quite as stooped, and his arms have a little flab on the side of them, but you can tell by looking at him that when he was young, he was some real guy. Jacob smaller. He comes and says, "Esau,
I don't blame you for killing me. Just let me say one thing, and then you can kill me if you want to. Esau, I'm sorry. I got all these gifts for you. I want you to have them. Whether I live or die, I want you to have them."
Esau says, "Jacob, I don't want your gifts. You keep them. You're my brother, and I love you, brother. And all's forgiven." Jacob said, "You ain't going to kill me?" This is in the Hebrew. "You ain't going to kill me? Esau said, I know, Jacob, I love you. Can you see those two big brothers, 20 years of separation behind them, and bitterness and fear and doubt and suspicion and cheating and crookedness and threats? Jacob throws his arm around Esau, and Esau says, I love you, Jacob.
I love you, Esau. I'm sorry. That's okay, Jacob. We all know nobody is perfect.
Well, I wish you'd do that. I wish we'd do that. And they were restored. Why? Why tonight, when you read about the Middle East, that little nation over there, that little burning bush that will never be extinguished, why is it called Israel? Why?
Why every time you mention the Middle East, you mention the nation Israel, you're talking about Jacob? Why?
One reason. Because Jacob said, I need some more punishment. I need some more trouble. I need some more tears. I need some more heartache. I need some more problems. And I'm not going to let you go till you're finished with me. And I'm ready to do what you want me to do with my life. Our Heavenly Father, I marvel at this truth. I marvel at a man would say, God, keep on spanking me. I need some more. I'm not ready yet. I need some more. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. You've been complaining because of troubles? Huh? Been living with your pity parties because of problems? You just tell God tonight, I'm sorry, God. You keep on putting me through whatever you want to put me through. You get me ready for what you want me to do and be.